Today's Shin Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud. This is a very famous daf, has a lot of really great stories in Drushos of the Psukim, with a number of Inyanim of Pesach, how appropriate for this time of the year. Daf Yomi always does that. And we begin 5 lines in the top, Daf Yud Omen Aleph, with continuing the Drushos on Shimshon. So the Pasuk in Shoftim discusses the following aspect of Shimshon. Vayikros Shimshon al Hashem, Shimshon calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomar, and he says, Hashem Elokim, so Chreini no. Hashem, remember me, v'chaskeni na, and give me strength. This is after he's already in jail, he's been blinded, and he wants to have the final nekama against the plishtim. Ach ha-pamazeh, this one last time, strengthen me. Not sure why the Gemara leads out the word ha-elokim, but that's the next word in the pasuk, and then it says, v'inokmo nekam achas, mishtei enai miplishtim, and give me revenge with one of the two eyes that the plishtim pulled out for me. In other words, give me Nekama on the zechus, so to say, of one of the two eyes that I've lost. The Mefarshim explained that Shimshon is saying, use one up in this world for my credit in this world and save the other one for the Olam Emes. Then your other adds, and he says that the two eyes that a person has, one is considered the right eye, which is the eye that you look for towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other one, the left eye, is considered the eye that is for Gashmias and for this world. So Shimshon was saying, listen, I didn't use my eyes in a Gashmias way, even though we have this very difficult to understand episode that Shimshon had with a number of the Plishti women. So Shimshon is saying, I did this totally L'shem Shemayim, albeit he had a personal agenda to a very, very small extent, a minuscule amount, that it was a personal taiva. But at the same time, he was doing this, as we had mentioned, to bring Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I only did this with one eye. It was all with my right eye. I didn't do this with Taiva, with my left eye. So please allow me to go and have a nekama against the Plishtim. And of course, we know that he then is brought into the center of this big temple for Dagon, their god. And he goes and pushes the pillars down, and many, many of the wicked Plishtim were killed. Amar Rav, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Shimshon b'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shimshon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me here. Zuchar li, now the gersa that we have is Esrim, and the word Ushtaim is in parentheses. We'll explain that in a minute. But most darshan this over here, as you can see this in the Masoras HaShas, at the top Masoras HaShas, he said, Heyira Rashba, B'tshuva, in the Tshuvas of the Rashba, he writes down, Shigmar Lufon of a less milas Ushtaim. The word Ushtaim over here is incorrect. So the way the Rashba would learn this would be, remember the 20 years, Zecharli Esrim Shana, Sheshafatiti Es Yisrael, for 20 years I was the judge, the Shofet for Klal Yisrael. The law of Marati L'Echad Mehem, I didn't tell a single person Klal Yisrael, Havali Makel Mimokum Lumokum. Go and bring me my makel from one place to another place. In other words, I didn't use Klal Yisrael. I didn't lord over Klal Yisrael. I was the shofet, but I didn't take anything from Klal Yisrael. So therefore, in that zechus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me out over here to allow me to bring this final nekama onto the plishtim. Now, that's the standard way to understand this, is Esrim Shana. However, the Maharsha says, no, what the pasuk means over here is that there were two 20 periods of years of time that Shimshon was the shofet. So, Zechar li Esrim, remember the 20 years, twice that I was the shofet. And he breaks up Shimshon's rules, so to say, to two 20-year periods of time. He then also adds, it's possibly that one is referring to 20 years after Shimshon's death, that the Plishtim was still so terrified of Shimshon that even for the 20 years after his death, they left Klal Yisrael alone. So the 20 years that he was an actual shofet plus the 20 years that they left Klal Yisrael alone is the twice 20 that they're referring to over here. Okay. Then the pasuk says, Vayelech Shimshon Vayilkod Shlosh Mios Shualim. Now, this is not in order. Shimshon just died in the psukim that we just described. And we go back to an earlier point where Shimshon finds out that the wife that was designated for him to be his wife was given, in fact, to somebody else because they solved the riddle. And he went to go and torch the crops of the Plishtim. So he took 300 foxen, tied them tail to tail together, and tied a torch to them, and they destroyed much of the Plishtim crops. So, he captured 300 foxes, and the Gemara says, why bedavka foxes? Why did he choose this way to go and destroy the Plishtim? Why specifically foxes? A fox is a very sly animal, so why did bedavka did he pick the foxes? Amar Rabbi Aivu Bar Nagdi, Rabbi Aivu, who's the son of Nagdi, said in the name of Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Shimshon, Shimshon's thinking was as follows. Yavo mi shechozer liachorav, when a fox is being attacked by an animal that it can't fight, so it backs away. It doesn't turn around and flee, it backs away. So Yavu Misha Chozer Liachorov, that an animal that backs away be the way that I punish the Plishtim, the Yiparmi Plishtim, and this will pay back the Plishtim, Shechazu B'Shuvasim. They backed away from the Shua that we discussed at the end of yesterday's year when Avimelech and Avram Avinu made a pact that said, "Im tishkor li ulanini ulanechti." So they made a deal that they wouldn't treat in a sheker way with each other, and now the plishtim have backed away from that deal, and therefore the fox represents that, and that's why Bedavki chose a fox. Tanya, we have another braisa. Amar Rabbi Shimon Echosid. Rabbi Shimon Echosid said, "Bank seifav shel Shimshon, in between the shoulders of Shimshon, shishim amo haya." He was so broad, his shoulders were 60 amo wide. Now, what does this mean? Can't be obviously a person is 60 amo wide. It's a let's say that's 90 to 120 feet from one shoulder to the other shoulder. He would be a huge, massive giant, and we don't find that anywhere by Shimshon. So we'll explain in the Gemara. This is based upon the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayishkav Shimshon." Shimshon slept until midnight, and the plishtim were going to go and kill him. They knew where he was. They were going to go kill him. But he gets up in the middle of the night. He goes and takes the post, the sharim, the gateposts of Aza, and he rips them off. He takes the shari ha'ir, so the two posts of the door, and he goes and carries them away with their lock, the deadbolt, and he puts them on his shoulders. So what it's telling us here, the Gemara says, and we had a tradition that these doors were huge and the gates were 60 amma. So what it means, that not Shimshon's back was 60 amas wide. That's just not believable, not plausible. But it's telling us that he was so strong that he was able to carry something that was 60 amma wide on his back. Gemara continues says, "Vahi tochem deveis wasrum." When they locked away Shimshon, after they blinded him, they put him in the prison. And it says over there that he was tochem, he was grinding. Now, the simple taich is that he was grinding wheat for them. However, Rabbi Yochanan darshins, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, ain techino, the word techino via vahi tochem deveis wasrum is a reference to el loshon aveira. This is a sign of an aveira. It's a euphemism for an aveira that he was having relations there. Because, v'cheinu omer, as the pasuk says in Eov, Titchan liacher ishti, and the end of the pasuk, which we'll darsen in a moment, is v'yoleo yichruun acherin. So what it means is, let my wife go and commit adultery, and let other people bend over her. So melame shekol echo v'echod hevilo es ishto leves asurim, that all the plishti men brought their own wives to go and have relations with Shimshon because they were hoping to have great children that would be physically strong like Shimshon. Kadesh tis aber hemenu. Now, many of the Mepharshim say it's impossible to think that Shimshon would be a partner to such a thing, and the idea was that they brought their wives before they had tashmish with them to see Shimshon. And this way, Shimshon would be on their wives' minds when they had tashmish. And this is a famous idea. The Gemara in a number of places says that Rabbi Yochanan would go and stay by the mikvah. So when the women would come out of the mikvah, they would see his beautiful face. The Gemara tells us Rabbi Yochanan had a shufra face, appearance that was unbelievably beautiful. And the women would see him on their way back from the mikvah, and therefore they would be thinking of that face in some way when they had relations with their husbands, which again is not something that normally is allowed or done. And the Gemara says, because Rabbi Yochanan was such a high level, so this wasn't a problem, but for anybody else, it would be a big problem. In any event, so the women would have beautiful children. So too, the plishti brought their wives, the men brought their wives there to see Shimshon, not to actually have relations with Shimshon, but to see Shimshon, so they would have children that would be physically strong, would be like Shimshon. Again, some darshan this, the Ben Yehuda darshan this in a more direct way, and he says that this was Shimshon's, so to say, tafkid over here, based again on his Kabbalistic ideas that he was trying to collect the nitzot social kedusha that were in the plishti world, and this was in fact a continuation of that idea. Amar Papa, Papa says, "Hainu d'amrin shad." This is what people say. Popular aphorism: "Kamei d'shasi chamer," in front of the one who drinks wine, chamer, you bring wine. And the Ben Yehuda has a beautiful marshal over here. He says a person once was drunk, and his family was so upset that he was constantly drunk that they hid him away in a grave someplace so he would wake up from his drunkenness and have the fear of God in him. But it so happened that the whole marshal, he goes through a story that somehow there were wine merchants that came and they stopped by the grave, and one of the bottles went into the grave, and the drunkard drank it, and they left it there with him. And when he wakes up, the relatives saw that he had wine there in the grave. So they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring wine to somebody that needs wine, so to say. So to Aviyah Shimshon, his tafkid in some way was this idea of having relations with the Plishti women, so therefore he was given wine. In other words, even while he was in the jail, he was able to somehow accomplish his tafkid. Kamei Rafoka, likewise, in front of a person who is going and digging in the garden, he's a gardener, Gridaya Duvla, they bring to him a basket of Duvla, of vegetables. So therefore, each person gets what they need, so to say. Okay. The Amar of Yochanan, we just had this member of Yochanan, so Yochanan tells us another member, he tells us a general statement that if a man, Rachmon al-Islan, he himself commits adultery, it will show his wife that, hey, that's not a bad idea, and she will also go and commit adultery. Now, the Ben Yehuda also brings down over here that this isn't to be said that any single time that a man commits adultery, that his wife automatically, by definition, also commits adultery. What Rav Yochanan is telling us over here is that there is therefore a desire, and the righteous woman will, of course, overcome this desire. And similarly, if a man's wife committed adultery, it doesn't mean that he committed adultery. It just means that, unfortunately, that when one of the two partners commits such an infidelity, it causes the other partner to feel that they have been violated, and they will want to do somewhat the same thing. Of course, the righteous people overcome this tremendous taiva that they may have. Shenemar, Rav Yochanan bases his idea based upon the pasuk, Im niftol libi al isha v'al pesach rei orafti. So this is a pasuk also from Iyov, where it says, if a person has his mind to go and commit Rachmon al-San and Aveira with his next door neighbor, or to stay there and wait for the opportunity, and then it says afterwards, Uchsiv, Titchan liacher ishti, this is the passage we just brought down before, when we darshan vahi tochein, ishti dolel yichru'un acherin, that this idea is that if I go commit adultery, so then it's going to cause my wife to go commit adultery as well, have other people bend over her. Vahayinu d'amri itche, then this is what people say, ihu be'kare v'itse be'butzine, that like husband and wife over here, they'll be parallel to each other. He is working with the kari, which are considered the larger sized pumpkins. The itse and his wife, she's working with the smaller sized pumpkins. In other words, each one does an aveira of a similar but not identical nature. Rashi explains that these large and small pumpkins are min echadu, they're one species. Ela she'elu gedolim ve'elu tanim. The kare are the larger ones, the butzine are the smaller ones, and kloma b'meshu osek hiasuka. So just like he's doing this infidelity, so it's going to lead to his wife, Rachman al-San, also doing an infidelity. Another same from Yochanan. Remember Yochanan, Shimshon dones Yisrael, kaviyim shebashamayim. Shimshon was a very, very righteous judge, and he judged Klal Yisrael just the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, don yodin amo ki achad v'gomer. Shiftei Yisrael. Again, it's always unclear. These are editors' decisions as to where to cut off the pasuk. It would have been, if I was the editor, I would have added the full pasuk over here. But in any event, that's very, very frequently the way the Gemara is done. So they quote this pasuk, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the Jewish people, so Shimshon judged the Jewish people as well. Another statement from Yochanan, Yomer Yochanan, Shimshon al Shimo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikur. Shimshon's name, Shimshon, comes from the word Shemesh, which is a representation, if you wish, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, ki shemesh umogen Hashem Elokim v'gomer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a son, he's a protector of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Shimshon also is considered, the word Shimshon has the word shemesh in it, so it's saying that this is like a shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara asks, if it's a shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you shouldn't be allowed to erase the word Shimshon. You shouldn't be allowed to say the word Shimshon in the bathroom. The Gemara asks, can you say the word Shalom in the bathroom? Because Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So based upon this, you shouldn't be allowed to erase the word Shemesh. That's what Mephoshah says. It's not about Shimshon, it's about the word Shemesh. You shouldn't be allowed to erase the word Shemesh. So Gemara says, no, it's not a real name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a euphemism. It's a kinoi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elmei ein shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a representation, if you wish, of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu megin akol olam kulam. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and protects the entire world, so too the sun protects the entire world. Shimshon Megin Bidoro Al Yisrael. Shimshon was the head of Klal Yisrael. He was the godlike dar, so he protected Klal Yisrael during his days. Another statement from Yochanan. Remember Yochanan, Bilam Chiger. Bilam was lame, Biragalachas, with only one of his legs. Hoya. When he was rushing to go and curse Klal Yisrael, so the donkey that he was riding on tried to get away from the Malach HaMavis that was standing in front of him, and he went against the wall and he crushed the leg. One of the legs of Bilam. So that's why Bilam was lame. He was Chigeh Baraglav. Shenemar, Vayilech Shefi, as the Pasuk tells us, that he went about Shefi. Shefi means walking with a limp. Shimshon, however, Chigeh Bishtei Raglav. We think of Shimshon as this massive power builder type of physique, but he says, no, he was actually lame in both of his legs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make somebody super powerful, super strong, even though they have physical handicaps. So it says that Shimshon actually was lame in both of his legs. He is referred to as Shififon Alei Orach. He'll be like a snake, a Shififon, and a snake can't walk, so it's like slithering like a snake. So that's the description of Shimshon. That's how Rav Yochanan darshins this out. Tanya Rabbanan, we learn the following brayso: Chamisha Nivru Me'ein Dugma Shel Ma'aloh. There were five people who were created with something special that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into them. V'chulan Lakuban. But all of them, even though they're great individuals, they all ultimately were punished in a way that they were given this special power, this special benefit. So in some way, they were also punished there. So Shimshon Bekocho, Shimshon, who was super strong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him unbelievable power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, pounded within him, so he nevertheless, unfortunately, died because of his strength. Shaul B'Tzavaro, the Gemara tells us, based upon the Psukim, that Shaul was head and shoulders, literally above everybody else. So his neck was, so to say, a superior idea, that he was head and shoulders above everybody else. And Nebuch, he died B'Tzavaro. He died by falling on his sword. Avshalom Bisaro. Avshalom was very proud of his hair, and ultimately his Naziris and his hair caused him to die when, as we'll see the story, he was riding on his donkey. We mentioned this previously, we'll see it again today, and his hair got caught, and that's how Yov was able to go and kill him. Tzidkio Beinov, we don't know exactly what the strength of Tzidkio's eyes were, but obviously the Gemara is telling us that there was something special about Tzidkio's eyes, and Nebuch, he was blinded by Nebuchadnezzar at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And finally, Asa. Asa was one of the great kings of Malchus Yehuda, and he had something great with his legs. Doesn't say exactly what that was, but he ended up having gout in his legs, as we'll see in this story in the Gemara, and that was an extremely painful condition for him. Okay, so Shimshon Bekocho, we dash in the Brisa now. Shimshon was punished ultimately with his koach, Dilsiv, by Yosar Kocho Me'elov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed his presence from him. The Shechina left Shimshon, and he became powerless. Shaul B'Tzavaro, so what is that? Dilsiv, Vayikach Shaul Esacherev, Vayipolula. Shaul killed himself when the Plishtim were going to torture him, so Shaul went and killed himself because he felt that he might worship Avodah Zarah or Chas V'Shalom would lead to a Chilul Hashem. So under those rare, very rare and unusual situations, there is a heter in some way to go and commit suicide. So Shaul ultimately killed himself. And again, this was the idea that he was so great above everybody else. Shaul was an unbelievable figure. I always find it very interesting that these figures over here, we have Shaul, we have Shimshon, and we have Tzidkio, were three of the greatest people in Klai Yisrael, and all of them were very tragic, and all of them didn't fully reach their potential, and all of them unfortunately died in very tragic ways. So Shaul ultimately died here on his sword. Avshalom Bisaro, as we've mentioned previously, as we'll explain in a few moments again, that he was caught in the hair as he was running away from the battle that his army had lost, and he ultimately was killed. And Tzidkio Be'einav, the Tzidkio, the Pasuk tells us at the time of the destruction of the first base in English by Nebuchadnezzar Russia, the S.A.N.A. Tzidkio Iver. Tzidkio's eyes were plucked out, were taken out by Nebuchadnezzar. Asa, the great king Asa, the Raglov, he was punished with his legs. They'll see the Pasuk says, Rakle Ziknos, he was a great king Asa, but in his older age, Cholos Raglov, he had a problem with his legs. What problem was that? Shachazaso Podagra, that he had this condition called Podagra. In fact, in medicine, there is an English word known as Podagra, which is gout. And that is what he suffered from. And this was very painful, as the Gemara says. Amalei Mazutra, Bereder of Nachman, Rav Nachman. Mazutra, who was the son of Rav Nachman, said to his father, Hechi Dami Pedagra, what exactly is this Pedagra? So he told him, the father of Nachman said, Amalei, Kemachat, it is like having a needle, the Basar Hachai, into raw flesh. In other words, it's a needle penetrating into your skin. It's very painful. How did Rav Nachman know this? You know, you had that, Gemara asked. So, three possible answers. Ika Diamre, some suggest, we had a similar idea just a few dafim ago. Ika Diamre, Mecha Shavu Choshbe, he himself had this condition. We talked about Ben Azeh the other day. How did he know how long it took to have a certain shear of stira? It was based upon relations, and we had said that Ben Azeh didn't have a marriage, so we gave similar three terutzim. So the first terutz over here is that he himself had this. Just like we said, Ben Azeh actually was married to Rabbi Akiva's daughter. So the first one was that Rav Nachman had pedagra, so he knew exactly what it was like. Second answer, Vika Diame Mirabe Shamale. He heard it from his Rebbe. So like we said, Benazi heard it from his Rebbe, how long the Shear of Stira was, the Shear of Tumah was. And the third answer we gave before by Benazi as well, Vika Diame Sodashem Lireyov, Uberiso Lodiyom. Kosh Bachel gives knowledge to those people, Hafokhbo, Vafokhbo, Vakulabo. So everything is in the Torah. So that's how Rav Nachman knew what Pedagra was, how painful it was, even though he had never heard it from his Rebbe and he never had it himself. Darash Rava. Rava goes further to discuss Asa. Bipnei ma nenash Asa. How come Asa was punished? He was such a righteous king. He was one of the great kings of Klai Yisrael. So the answer is Bipnei she Asa angarya b'tamidei chachamim, because he pressed the tamidei chachamim into service for the king. So therefore he was punished. He didn't let them learn. He made them do work for him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Vamelech Asa hishmias kol Yehuda ein naki. The pasuk says that he got together all of the people of Yehuda. Einaki, nobody was free from this service. My Einaki was mean nobody's free from the service. I'm Yehuda Merab. So Yehuda Merab darshens this, and he says, Afilu chosen mechadro, the chala mechupasa. Even the chosen and the kala from their wedding, they were brought into the service of the king. And therefore, the Tamidei Chacham also were brought in, and therefore, he caused a loss of learning in Klai Yisrael, and therefore, he was held accountable, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him this painful pedagra, this painful gal. Now we dash more psukim about Shimshon. Siv, it says by Shimshon, Vayerit, Shimshon, Timnasa. He went down to Timnasa. They use the Lashon, Vayerit. He went down. But in regards to Yehuda, with the famous Ma'aseh of Tamar, which we're now going to discuss as well, it says, Uksiv, Hinei Chamich, Ole, Timnasa. But it says that Yehuda went up to Timna. So which one is it? Is Timna up or is Timna down? Where geographically is it located? So again, we give several possible roots. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Shimshon, it says he went down, Shinizganaba. This is a reference not to the location, but this is a reference to his spirituality. He, unfortunately, when he went to Timnah, he went down spiritually, Shinizganaba. He had a downfall over there, he had a kinai over there, Shoshimshon, Shinizganaba, so Ksibbe Yerida. So it says he went down. However, Yehuda, Shinis Alaba, but Yehuda, when he went over there, he had an elevation spiritually, Ksivbe Aliyah. Therefore, it says about him that he had an Aliyah. That's terrace number one. Another terrace, Shmuel ben Nachmani Amari says, Shtei Timnos. There's a simple answer. There's two Timnas. One was down, one was up. Chadab Yerida, Chadab Aliyah. Very simple answer. Balabatisha terrace, two different Timnas. Rapapa says no. Rapapa Mar, Chadu Timna Avoy. No, there was only one Timna. Give me a break. The Ase Mehaigi Su Yerida. The Ase Mehaigi Su Aliyah. It depends which way you're coming. If you're coming from the area above it, so then it's called going down to Timna. If you're going from the area below it, it's called going up to Timna. And therefore, Shimshon came from the higher area, so he went down to Timna. And Yehuda went from the lower area, so he went up to Timna. And he says that we find this by other cities as well. Kagon, we have this by the city known as Vardonia. And we have this by the city known as Ubei Bari. And we have this by the Shuk of the Narish, by the Shuk of the city known as Narish. So these three cities also, they were located in the middle of an elevated and a depressed area. So if you came from the side, from the elevated, you'd be going down to them. If you came from the lower area, from the valley area, up to them, you'd be going up to them. It's very simple terrace. Then we darshan now, once we've mentioned Yehuda and Tamar, so we darshan a little bit over there. Vateshev and Pesach Inayim. It says that Tamar went down to sit by Pesach Inayim, waiting for Yehuda to come there. So I'm Rabbi Alexandria. Alexandria says, Melameid Shehocho V'yoshvalo B'pisco Shel Avram Avinu. What's this Pesach Inayim? It's where Avram Avinu used to have his Eshel Avram. As it says, Mokum Shekol Inayim Tzofos L'roso. This is the place that everybody wanted to go and see, the famous Eshel Avram. Everybody was also welcome over there, Rashi says. So therefore, in this place, everybody would go and want to visit there because this was a place where great hospitality was done, where, of course, the Eshel Avram was famous for allowing people to come in and be fed and to have a place to stay. And Avram Avinu, all he asked, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, was that they recognized the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It wasn't for me, Avram Avinu said, this is all for my Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's the teretz that Rav Alexandria gives. Rav Chanan Amar Rav, Rav Chanan is the name of Rav, Malkum Hu Shishmo Einayim. No, it's Pesach Einayim, by the opening to this place called Einayim. V'chein Omer, as it says elsewhere, Tapuach Vo Einam. So this place Tapuach and this place Ho Einam, that's Pesach Einayim, in front of the place of Einayim. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, he says a different teretz, he says, Shenos No Einayim Lidvoreho Kishetovo. So Tamar spoke with Yehuda to entice him to go and be with her in the following way. Amalah, Yehuda said to her, listen, I can't have relations with you because Shema Nochrasat, because you're not Jewish. And the idea behind this is what he wanted to do Kiddushin with her. This wasn't the simple situation of Yehuda going out in Rahman al-Islam just having relations with his owner. He was going to marry her. And he said, maybe you're a nachris and I can't marry you. So I'm relay. So she responds back. Tamar responds back to you to know, gioris, and I'm a gioris. No, he says, shema eishes ishat, but maybe you're a married woman and this would be adultery and I'm not allowed to go and have relations with you. So she told him, no, don't worry. I'm relay. Penuya ni, I'm a penuya. So he said to her, no, shema kibo bocha avir kedushin. Maybe your father accepted kedushin on your behalf and you're actually an eishes ish. So she says to him, no, I'm relay, you're so many. No, my father died when I was very, very young, and therefore, I'm Yisoma. Rashi points out, this goes against the Medrash that says that shame was her father, and shame was in the Beis Din that judged her, so therefore, it would be impossible for her to say that my father's not alive, and therefore, it goes against the Medrash that says that shame was still alive, and that shame was her father. So, in any event, she says, I'm a Yisoma, and therefore, there's no problem that nobody accepted Kedusha on my behalf on a Daraisa level, because even if my mother or my brother, as Rashi points out, had accepted Kedusha, that would only be on a Darabanan level, and the Rabbanans didn't, so to say, exist in those days. No, Yehuda says to her, no, Shema Tmeya, maybe you're a Nida. So, I'm like, she says, no, Torah, I'm not a Nida. I went to the mikvah, and I'm not a Nida. Okay. The Gemara says, "Vayita Eishal Bever Shava." So we just discussed about that place, Pesach Einayim. So we go and discuss the Eishal Avram. So it says that Avram Avinu planted Eishal Bever Shava. What does that mean? Or Eish Lakish? Malamish also Paradise. He made a beautiful orchard over there. V'natabo Kol Minei Megadim. He planted all sorts of trees, beautiful fruits that would grow over there, and this way the guests would have these delicious fruits to enjoy. Rehuda, Rav Nechemya, Chadamar Pardes, Chadamar Pundok. So here we have Machlokes, Rehuda and Rav Nechemya. One of them said that it was a Pardes, and the other one said that it was a Pundok. It was a hotel. It was a place where everybody could stay and sleep over. So either it was food, or it was a place of lodging, or it was both. And the Gemara says, Bishlom Amman Yom Pardes, according to one that said it was a Pardes, oh, we just had the Pasuk. Ahinu Dixiv, Vahita, he planted. You plant a Pardes, you don't plant a house. El Amman Yom Pundak said it's a hotel. So, my Vahita, what does it mean you plant a hotel? So the Gemara says, yeah, we find this. In Daniel, it says, Dixiv, Vahita Ohale Apadno Vagomer. He planted, so to say, the palace. So therefore, the Ohalim of his palace, he planted the tents of his palace. So you see that Lashon of Vayita could be used as well for a house. And in fact, both of them are correct, that there was food that was given out, as well as lodging that was given out by Avram Avinu. The Pasuk says, Vayikwa Shom B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. In that place where the Eshel Avram was, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was proclaimed. So it says, Vayikwa Shom. And he called there. So I'm a Reish Lakish, Al Tikri Vayikra. Don't read the word Vayikra. We turn to Yud Omid Beis, but instead read the word Ela Vayakri. He caused to be said. In other words, Avram Avinu caused everybody to call out in the name of Hashem. Milame Shehikri Avram Avinu Lishmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He caused everyone to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Avram Avinu is considered the father of monotheism. He caused so many people to recognize that there's one creator in the world. Bepeh Kol Over Vishav. And this was said by every single person that passed by over there. How? Keitzad. Liachar She'och L'Vishav. So Avram gave them free food, free drink, and free lodging. So Amdu L'Varchu. They went to go and give Avram either to pay him or to praise Avram. So Amalem, Avram said, what are you praising me? What are you paying me? Did you eat from me? Michel Elokeo Lama Chaltem. You didn't eat from me. It's not my food. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food. So you want to thank somebody? Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hodu Shabchu Ubaruchu. L'mishomer V'hoyo Ha'ola. So he told him, you want to thank somebody? Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Poseach HaSyodech HaMazmir L'chol Chai Ratzon. He's the one that gave you this food and lodging, and therefore thank him. They all did. And that's why it was, instead of Vayikra, it's Vayakri. He caused Hashem's name to be mentioned. More about Yehuda and Tamar. Vayirel Yehuda, Vayachzevel Zona. Yehuda saw Tamar at the crossroads of Pesach Einayim, and he thought that she was his owner. Why did he think she was his owner? He chises saw Parnell, because she covered her face. Now, that's not the best way for a zona to work. A zona wants to, quote, show off the wares. She wants to show everybody how beautiful she is. So she covers up. That's not the way a zona normally works. But from the chis saw Parnell, I show the zona, because she was sneers. So that's why he thought she was his owner, the exact opposite. So he says, no. When was she sneers? He chises saw Parnell in her house, over Rabbi Elazar. She chises saw Parnell, the Veis Chaviyah. In the entire time that she was in Yehuda's house, she never showed her face. She was always Sanua. She always was very, very modest around Yehuda. So he didn't recognize that this was his daughter-in-law. And therefore, he thought she was his owner, because now her face was uncovered. The Amar of Shua Bar Nachmani, Amar of Yonason, as Rishua Nachmani said, name of Yonason, Kol Kala, she Sanua, Bevei Schamia. If the daughter-in-law, the Kala, is in fact, acting in a tzniyas-dika fashion in her father-in-law's house. They used to go live by the father-in-law, by the Kala's father-in-law, by the Chassan's father. So Zolcha, the Yotzim, and then Melachim and Neviim, she will be Zolcha to have wonderful children. She'll have kings as children and Neviim as children. And where do we know this from? Me Tamar, from this story. Neviim, how do we know that she had Neviim ultimately coming from a Dilsev? Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amotz, the famous mafter of Chazon Yeshayah, the Haftorah Chazon, before Nebuch Tisha B'Av. So it says that Yeshaya ben Amotz was the Navi, and he of course comes from Amotz, which comes from the lineage of Yehuda, which of course is from Tamar. So Melachim David, and where do we see Melachim? That's the Omer of Levi, that Dover Zeh, Mosoris B'Yodeinu Me'avoseinu, Amotz V'Amatzio Achim Havu. So we know of course that Yehuda had Melachim, but now we see here he also had Neviim, because Yeshaya was the brother, his father was the brother, Ben Amotz was the father of Amatzio, who was one of the kings. So therefore we see that both Melachim and Neviim come from Yehuda. Then the pasuk continues discussing that when Yehuda sees that Tamar is pregnant, so he takes her out to the Beis Din, and she's being taken out to be burnt at the stake. She's a Bas Kohen, according to some that say that she was the daughter of Shem. She was a Bas Kohen, and her punishment for committing adultery was Sreifa. So he mutzeis, they took her out. Now, that's a funny word. It sounds like she was found. So it should have said he mitutzeis miboyle. It should have used the lashon that she was taken out rather than she was found. So what does it mean she was found? So this is a famous drush, Amar Belazar. Belazar tells us, li'acha shenimzu simoneh. She was going to show Yehuda, do you recognize this stick? Do you recognize this pekula, your knapsack that you gave me as the pikadon until you were going to bring me the set for my services? So do you recognize this? Now she was going to bring it out. However, the Malach Samuel came along and took it from her. So she didn't have it. So then the Malach Gavriel came and brought it back. So the Gemara tells us, Bo Samuel v'richakon. Samuel came and hid them. Esav, so to say, never wanted Yaakov to go and have his progeny to become Malchus Yisrael. So this was Samuel going to go and try to make Yehuda be forever forgotten from the world. And Gavriel comes, the Kirvon, and he goes and brings them. So the Malchus Yehuda was inside of her. She was pregnant with the twins. And if she had been killed now, so that would have essentially ended Malchus Yehuda even before it started. Malchus Beis David would never have gotten off the ground. So therefore, Gavriel comes and brings them back, and she's able to show Yehuda and says, Haker no, do you recognize them? As we'll see in the Gemara now. First, we have another pasuk. It says, Hainu Dirsiv. This explains this story, behind the story, where it says in the pasuk, L'amnatzeach ha'yonas elem rechokim l'david michtam. This pasuk in Tillim, we darshan in as follows. Amar Yochanan, Mishor shenisrachaku simoneh. At the moment that the simon was taken from her, the Malach Samuel came and took them from her, so nasis kiyona elem. She had nothing to say. Here was her proof, and now her proof was gone. L'david michtam, what does it mean when it says l'david michtam? So it means, shiotso mimeno david shoyo moch. Vitam. Michtam is a play on the words moch vitam lako, that she was zochet to have David HaMelech come from her. David HaMelech was moch, it means he's very soft, he's very humble, he's very low, vitam, and he's very shalom, he's very complete for everybody. Dover Acher, alternately, you can dash the word michtam shahaisa makoso tamor, that the place where you normally have a makah, the bris milah, he was born mohu. Shenolad kishu mohu. David HaMelech only needed a tovas dam bris, he already was born without an orla. Dover Acher, alternately, what does the word michtam mean? Michtam, kishem shebekatnuso, hiktinatzmo etzel mishagodubi menu lomotoro, kach bigadluso. That just like when he was a young Talmud Chacham, he went to subordinate himself to his Rebbe. So too, even when he was older, he was the king. So the Gemara in Brachas tells us that he would always go and ask Mephibosheth, his Rebbe, who was actually a grandson of Shaul HaMelech, he would ask him, am I paskening right? Am I paskening right? Gemara in Brachas has an interesting story about this. Mephibosheth would often say, no, you're wrong. And that's why he was called Mephibosheth. He would embarrass David HaMelech. However, David HaMelech ultimately had a son, Kiliav, and Kiliav was able to show that Mephibosheth, in fact, was wrong, and he was Kaliav. He took care of his father's embarrassment. He removed his father's embarrassment by showing that, in fact, David HaMelech passed him correctly, and not like his rabbi actually said that he was wrong. In any event, we see from there this idea that David HaMelech was never embarrassed to go and make himself small so he could learn from his rabbi. Kach b'gadluso, even when he was older, he was the king. He would do this type of activity of being asking, even though he was the Gadol HaDor himself, he would ask others, am I right, am I right? Then it says, he shalcha el chamiya, she sent the collateral that she had taken the mate and the knapsack she sent to him. Lemor liisha sher ela lo anochi hara. The one who belongs to these possessions, this collateral that I have, he's the one that made me pregnant. No, why don't you just tell him, hey, you're the husband, you're the father. V'teimolei meimar, why don't you just come right out and tell him? So I'm Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, I'm a Rav. We have a very, very famous statement over here from Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia in the name of Rav. And the others say, V'amilo Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizda, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Others say it was said by Rav Chana Bar Bizda in the name of Rav Shimon Chasida. And others say, V'amilo Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Yochai. Rav Yochanan said in the name of Rav Shimon Yochai. In any event, everybody wants to say this great part, or maybe they all said this great part. Noach l'liyodim shi'apil atzvon l'toch kivshon ha'esh, v'ayablim pei chavero barabim. It's better for a person to die. She was about to be burnt at the stake. And she said, no, I'm not going to go embarrass Yehuda. She had said, hey, guess who's the father of these children inside of me? It's Yehuda. He committed znus with me. So that would have been a terrible busha to Yehuda in front of everybody. And therefore, she said, I would rather die and not go embarrass somebody in public. And therefore, how do we know this? Minolan, mitomar, from this famous Maisa of Tomar and Yehuda. Tosus says, how come this isn't listed in the three cardinal sins? So, Tosus answers, because it's not the Farish mentioned over here in the Torah, Eino Mifureshes, but Torah, and therefore, the lo nokat ela averos hamifureshes. When we talk about the three cardinal sins, yeah, it also includes this also, but it's not as Beferish mentions, only through a drasha, so therefore it's not listed amongst the three cardinal sins. But others explain that it actually is. It's a form of ritzicha, that when a person is embarrassed, his face turns white, the blood drains from his face, so it's like an abizrayu, it's like a tolda of ritzicha. So it actually is listed even amongst the three cardinal sins. Again, a very famous gemara. Before she's about to die, she says, Hakenor, she says to Yehuda, please take a look at this, the mata and the collateral that you gave me. Please recognize this, that you gave this to me. So I'm Rabbi Chama Baruch Hanina. Why were the words Hakenor over here specifically used? Because of the Haker that we have elsewhere. The Haker, Biser Liyaviv. Remember, we have the pasuk when they claimed that Yosef was killed by a wild animal. They said to Yaakov Avinu, do you recognize this Ksonis Pasim? So since he did that, so now he gets it back, so to say. Mida keneged mida, haker noah over here. So the haker bisru, since he said to his father, do you remember this Ksonis Pasim? So here he says, do you remember this, the mate and the other collateral items? Haker biser, haker noah, Ksonis bin chohi. He said to Yaakov Avinu, do you recognize this Ksonis? So Bahakir Bisru. So now it says over here, Hakir Nolami, do you know who this collateral is? That's the person that made me pregnant. But it also said the word Na. Why did it say the word Na? So the Gemara says, Ein Na El Losh Bakosh. She's pleading with him, begging with him. Armalei, Tamar says to Yehuda, the Vakasha, please, Na, Mimcha Hakir Pnei Boracha. Don't be embarrassed now to admit that you did something wrong, or that you're the father of the children over here, because you don't want to go to your death without recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'al talim einecha mimeni. Don't go and ignore me, look away, and cause my death, and ultimately be held accountable for that. So how does Yehuda respond? V'ayakir Yehuda. He recognizes V'yomer tzodka mimeni. He says, yes, she is righteous, and mimeni, I'm in fact the father of her children. Another statement they have, Rechonin Bizna, the name of Shimon Chasida, Yosef, Shekidei Shem Shemayim B'Seser. Yosef, he was Mekadei Shem Shemayim in private, with the whole famous story of Eishes Potiphar. So Zochav Osif Ulo, Os Achas Mishmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he had one letter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, added to his name, the Siv, Eidus B'Hosef Somo. So he had the letter Hey added. It says, be Yosef. So the hey is added to Yosef. That's one of the letters of Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Yehuda, who did it publicly, he admitted publicly, Zocha v'nikro kulo al shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the whole Yud Kei Vav Kei is in the shame of Yehuda. The Dalit, and then you have the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the name Yehuda. Now, Kivan Shehoda, Kivan, as soon as Yehuda was admitting Tzodko Mimeni, V'omar Tzodko Mimeni, so Yotze Baskel V'omar, a voice came out from Shemaim and said, Ati Tzaltu Tomer Shnei Bonea Mina Or, you saved Tomer and the two children inside of her. She was pregnant with the twins, Peretz and Zerah. So these three people that you just saved, I will remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mido kineged Mido, Chayecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, the bas kol rings out and says, yes, I swear, Shani Matzo B'Schuscha, in the merit that you just did this, you saved three people, I will save three of your children. Shlosha Mibanecha, Mino, or who are these three children? My Ninu, Chananya Mishovi Azariah. This is a famous Nes with Chananya Mishovi Azariah, thrown into the Kivshon Eish, and all three of them survived, similar to the story with Avram Avinu being thrown into the Kivshon Eish, and similar to another story where we have Shimon Kohen Gadol thrown into the fire, but here he's thrown in with two other people, and those two other people were Rishayim, and they were killed. But we see that these three children of Yehuda, Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah, were saved in the merit that he saved Tamar and her two unborn children, Zerach and Peretz. We dash in the words, Tzadka, Yehuda said, Tzadka, she is righteous, Mimeni, and the child is from me, Mino Yada. How did he know? Maybe. Just like he thought she was his owner, so maybe she was a Mizana with somebody else. So he said, Tzadka, she is right. And in the Baskol rang out, Mimeni, Yotzu Baskol v'yomra, Mimeni, Yotzu Kivushim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is for me. Everything here is for me. Yes, she is impregnated from Yehuda, and this is all part of my hidden plan for how the world will go about. Then it says, V'lo Yosef Ol L'dayta. Now the seeming words are, he didn't continue to have relations with her, but the Gemara directions differently. Amr Shmuel Saba, Chamua the Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, Mishmei the Rav Shmuel Bar Ami. So Shmuel, the elder Shmuel, who was the father-in-law of Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, who said in the name of his father, Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, and he says, Kivan Shiyada, once he had relations with her, and he saw that she was such a righteous woman, and everything she'd done was done, L'shem Shemayim, so Shuv Lo Pasach Mimena, he stayed married to her, and he continued to live with her. And how do we know that? Kesiv Hocha, it says over here, V'lo Yosef Oledaita, it seems to say that he didn't continue to have relations with her, but it means that he did continue to have relations with her, because Kesiv Hocha, it says in regards to the giving of the Saras Adibros, Kol Godol V'lo Yosef, it didn't stop. So you see, the word Yosef can mean not stopping, so to over here, he didn't stop. V'lo Yosef Oledaita, he didn't stop from having relations with her. In other words, they stayed together. Now we dash him back in our Mishnah, where we brought down Avshalom, Nizgar, Bisaro, V'chule. Avshalom was very proud of his hair, and ultimately he died with his hair. Tanur Rabban in the Brisa says, Avshalom, Bisaro, Morat, he rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, with his hair. Shinemar, Uche Avshalom, Lohio, Ish, Yofi, V'gomer. There was nobody as handsome as Avshalom. He was very, very proud of his long hair. Uvagalcho, Esrosho. Now, we have the words V'gomer, but really, the word V'gomer is not there. We don't have any words missing. It just goes on to the next pasuk. So the printer thought this was not the end of the pasuk. He wrote V'gomer, but the word V'gomer is incorrect. And the next pasuk just keeps on going straight. At the end of every year, remember we had the Gemara in Nazir, where we said that a Nazir Olam, like Avshalom, was allowed to go and lighten his hair. Mekal, he can go lighten his hair every certain period of time. We had 1 week, we had 1 month, and we had the more commonly accepted answer every year. So he went every year, Yomim Liyomim, Ashi Galach, Kichoved Lo V'Gilcho, V'Shakal Esarosho, Masayim Shkolim Be'Evin HaMelech. And he would go cut his hair, and it says how heavy his hair was. He had so much hair, it weighed 200 shekel Be'Evin HaMelech, according to the king's weights. Tanu, learn another braisa. Evin Shan Shetiveri of Anshi Tzipori Shoklum Ba. This is a reference to not the shekel of the melech, but this was the stone that they would use in Tveria and Tzipori to go and weigh things out. In any event, Lefikoch, because of this, he was so proud of his hair, Nitlo Bisaro, he was ultimately hung by his hair. As the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Vayikorei Avshalom Lefnei Avdei David, the Avshalom Rochev Al HaPered. We have the common expression, a ferret. So it's a parrot, a mule. He was riding on this mule, Vayovo HaPered Tachas Sovech. It came underneath the branches of a tree, ha'elo tree, ha'gedol, it was very big, and we have the word v'yachaz, but it really should be v'yachazak rosho, and it grabbed onto the hair of his head, bo'elo, on the branches of this tree, v'yutan ben ha'shamayim ben ha'aretz, the mule kept on going, and he's left there hanging between the sky and the earth, v'aferet, asher ha'takto over, and the mule just kept on going. So he's hanging there in midair. And what happened? Shokal Safsira. So he took out his sword to cut himself down. Boil him if he was going to go cut himself down, but Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, Ba'osu Shah, Nivka Sha'ol Mitachtov. So at that moment he was about to cut himself down, but the Sha'ol, which many translate as Gehenim, opened up underneath him, and therefore he couldn't go cut himself down. So what happened? Ba'yirgas HaMelech, Ba'yal Al-Aliyas HaShar, Ba'yev. So Yoav came and killed him, as we had previously. The 10 people threw the spears into him and the 3 swords into his heart. In any event, Yoav kills Avshalom, and David is very, very, very upset. He specifically told Yoav, and that's why Yoav ultimately was punished by Shlomo HaMelech, because he went against David's words. And David's very, very upset. Vayugas HaMelech, Vayal Al Elias HaShar, Vayev, he cries over there by the gate, Vacho Amar, and he said, Belechto b'ni Avshalom b'ni. He uses the Loshon b'ni many, many times. We'll see 8 times over here. Belechto b'ni, number 1, Avshalom b'ni, number 2, b'ni, number 3, Avshalom, mi tein musi, ani sachtecha, oh, if only I died instead of you, Avshalom b'ni, b'ni. Again, this is the 4th and 5th time. And then Sukkim continue, Amelech, what, espanov, and he went, and he further said, Vayizak HaMelech kol godol, b'ni, number 6, and then he further says 2 more times, he says, B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, V'ni. So 8 times he says this. Hotamnaya, these 8 times B'ni. Lama, why say the B'ni 8 times? So Shiva, the Aske Mishiva, Midore Gehenim. We had said that he was standing over the shawl when his hair was caught. Underneath him was the shawl, was Gehenim. So he was, so to say, descended into the 7 depths of Gehenim. So he said, B'ni, David HaMelech prayed for Avshalom, and he raised him up from the 7 depths of Gehenim, just like there's 7 heavens, so there's 7 depths of Gehenim, so he raised him up. So knew, why did he need the 8th time? The Yidach? So that was Yamachlokis. Ika, the Amrei, the Kor, Reisha, Legabe, Gufe. That allowed, when his head was chopped off, so that allowed his head to be connected to his body. Ika, the Amrei, the Aisei, Olmod, the Osi. That allowed him to be brought into the Olam HaEmes, into the world to come. Then it says, Avshalom lokach vayatzev lo b'chayav. And the end of the pasuk is, Ayes matzeves asher be'emek ha-melech v'gomer. So what does it mean over here? Vayatzev lo b'chayav. My lokach, what did he take over here? Avshalom lokach vayatzev lo b'chayav. So shelokach mekach ra'al yatzev. He took for himself a bad idea. Es matzeves asher be'emek ha-melech v'gomer. So what is that? Amar chinei bar papa, be'etza amuka shalmaku shalom. He basically went and fulfilled a nevuah that was said by David HaMelech. We turn to Yud Aleph, Omer Aleph. The Siv, as the Pasuk says, Hini mekim alecha ra mi beisecha. That David HaMelech was told because of the sin or whatever level he had done with Bathsheba that somebody from his own house would go and rebel against him. And David HaMelech was very happy when he heard it was Avshalom because he said, my son will have mercy on me as opposed to an eved that would be worried against me would not have mercy on me. This beautiful daf, a long daf, a lot of drushos in it, but we'll stop over here. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, Daf Yiral, has a lot to deal with Pesach. Mitzvah Shem, another beautiful daf. With this, we conclude today's share.